This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio by
Christine Wong,
Arvinia Braj.
We're going to be with you for about an hour, talking to you about artificial intelligence, music, and if you could resurrect a dead musician and have them record a new album for you, who would it be and why? That's what we're talking about today, isn't it, Arv?
It is, because there's a company that has sort of made an album using musicians who tragically passed away at the age of 27.
Now, when you pose this question,
yep,
it's such a difficult question to answer because there are so many fantastic musicians mm-hmm. who have tragically passed away,
yep,
whether or not they're part of the 27 Club or not. And I've been racking my brains all morning as to who I would like to record a new album. And I can't give you one individual. That's the problem, right? I can give you a few. Chris Cornell, for example.
Okay.
Freddie Mercury. Mm-hmm. Sam Cooke. Prince. Mm-hmm. Jim Morrison. The list is endless. Elvis Presley, perhaps.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Chris, what about you?
So, yeah, I think this is I was speaking about this off air, but I think this also betrays my kind of music and pop culture tastes. I was more curious about two of the cast members of the TV show Glee, who mm-hmm. passed away quite tragically young as well, because it occurred to me that in my years of watching the show, they had never had a proper duet together, and it would have been nice to have heard something like that.
Right.
You know, but it also, I think for me, it's a really difficult question to answer because to me, my main issue with this is kind of the ethics of it,
yeah,
in a way.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, do we have the right to be bringing these voices back from the dead, kind of?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I mean, if you look at it in terms of Bob Marley, another one.
Oh, yeah.
If you look
at it
in terms of estate, it's almost like releasing a greatest hits album.
Right,
you know?
But it's not them.
But it's not them.
Mm.
It's getting them. It's getting these artificial intelligence to recreate something, mm-hmm. and that's a slightly different thing.
Mm.
But if it was, I don't know. Such an ethical, moralistic question.
Why did this group of people decide to do this in the first place?
So this is from a company called Over the Bridge. It's an initiative, and they aim to sort of raise mental health awareness in the music community. So what they did was they create an album, they release an album called Lost Tapes of the 27 Club. And of course, 27 Club, like we've said, refers to people who have died at the age of 27. So like Kurt Cobain, you got Amy Winehouse, Jimi Hendrix, Jim Morrison from The Doors.
Mm-hmm.
The album features four songs. Each is a re-rendition of an artist from the 27 Club. Everything in these songs is made by an AI. So everything from the lyrics, the backing vocals, the instrumentals, the main vocals as well. So this is where I'm a bit confused, right? Because it says main vocals is constructed by AI.
Mm-hmm.
But I looked up a couple of the songs, and the song by Nirvana specifically, Kurt Cobain's vocals, quote-unquote, is by a Kurt Cobain cover band or a Nirvana cover band called Nevermind.
Okay.
So they are sort of providing the vocals for the song. So it's obviously not constructed by AI. And AI is doing all the other work, like, you know, coming up with the hooks, the rhythm, the everything else in the song. So that part, I'm not so sure. They haven't clarified whether the AI is constructing the lead vocals using what the machine knows, or if it's just creating the template for it, and then they're getting people who can do impressions or who can sing like these artists to step in and make the songs.
Or the AI might have heard this cover band and scraped some of the voice samples and then use it to fill in the gaps that Kurt didn't create.
Yeah, that was my thought, that they just need more of the similar sound to kind of teach the AI. Because they're working on a limited set of data, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they needed like these cover bands to provide...
to fill in the gaps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
And that's a problem with a lot of these people who are part of the 27 Club. They weren't always as prolific in producing material, for example. I mean, if you were to do this, for example, with Freddie Mercury or, I don't know who else.
Michael Jackson.
It probably would have been easier for the AI to have done it. I don't know.
Because it's the time, right? Like, they're so young that they didn't have enough time to put out enough things for the AI to learn from. They also explain a bit about how it works. So they say that thanks to the algorithm that isolated the hooks, the melodies, rhythms, and lyrics, the songs are thematically similar but still still quote-unquote new. The AI-generated elements were then composed into an album with the help of an audio engineer. Because they state that even AI will never replace the real thing. So they're very clear about that. But Over the Bridge wants their playlist to shine a light on mental health of musicians specifically, because based on a UK study, 68% of musicians said that they had depression, and 87% said that their mental health had gone down or declined since the onset of the pandemic. So they came to the conclusion that musicians and crews have struggled with mental health at a rate far exceeding the general adult population. Ethically speaking, they touch on that a bit. They say that AI renditions or deepfake music is questionable because it opens up legal, ethical and political ramifications for the music industry and how this works, alongside sparking questions on who really is the artist behind such music. So if you use AI to pull stuff from the artists themselves, is it a part of the artist's mental pattern? Like, is it an extension of them?
Yeah.
Or is AI a completely different thing?
This is my other question as well, is were the households or the, I don't know what the term is, but
the estates?
Yeah, were the estates notified that this project was happening? Did they have the permission?
They didn't say anything about that.
Interesting.
So this is not—it's not done for commercial gain. I think they haven't said anything about profit. So it's sort of like it's an initiative, but there's not much details about the estate, about copyright, about who owns the music, where they're getting the music from. So yeah, I think that
okay,
goes.
Okay, well, let's keep with this debate, but and loop it back to something that we've spoken about before, in terms of the holograms that we've seen, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Similar kind of idea in that you're resurrecting somebody to have them perform, quote unquote, live.
Tupac at Coachella.
Coachella, yeah. Michael Jackson in Las Vegas and a few other places as well. Does that, for you guys, does that differ in terms of the morality of it?
I think that's the same thing. But I think, again, that's why I asked the question about the estates. Because for those, at least, I mean, I know there was a bit of a kerfuffle with the Prince holograms and stuff like that. But generally speaking, the estates were aware, at least, if not, if they didn't explicitly give permission, they were at least aware that it was happening. That's, I think, where I'm at, where it's up to the, you know, the estates to kind of decide. A lot of, you know, that ownership debate, not really up to the general public or the people who create these, like, this technology.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's the thing. Some estates are very, very different to others, right?
Yeah.
So there'll be some estates out there that will say, okay, we are quite willing for you to do this holographically or using AI, as long as there is profit in it, or as long as there is great awareness of something that you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, and I think many of these estates will fall on, not necessarily on one, on, they'll either be on one side or the other.
Yeah.
Very few of them would be on both. Do you know what I mean? Some of them can be quite greedy, as we've heard in the past.
We've seen that happen with Michael Jackson's estate. Yeah, you know, like I think Janet Jackson was very stern about how she wanted her brother's material to be used. And
then the
other brothers were sort of like, no, maybe we can republish some of the albums and, you know, they can go out and stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's been an issue with Kurt Cobain's estate in the past as well. Mm-hmm. Some of the estate want to make money from it, whereas other ones are like, look, this fella clearly had issues that needed to be dealt with, and we should be raising awareness of those issues rather than try and make more money from it. But anyway, it's a really interesting debate, this, and I'm sure there's going to be some really interesting suggestions that come out of this. The question that we're asking is, if you could ask artificial intelligence to create a new album for a dead musician, who would it be and why? Let us know. Get us on Twitter at BFM Radio or on Instagram, also at BFM Radio. And if you want to send a message into us, which we'll read out a little bit later on, 018-789-8899 is the number for WhatsApp. We're going to take a short break now, but we have the first song up now. This has been created by AI.
Yeah, so this is a song by quote-unquote Amy Winehouse, and it's called Man I Know. If you listen to this song, so this is the best reviewed song in the bunch. So people have listened to this, say that it's really good. And we just wanted to play it and see if you had the same thoughts.
Build Fairer Malaysia. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. I'm Rich Bradbury. in the studio with
Arvini Braj
and Christine Wong.
We're asking you if you could ask artificial intelligence to create a new album for a dead musician, who would it be and why? And this is because Arv has a story about whether or not AI should be used to resurrect musicians who are no longer with us, and what if it's to shine a light on stuff like mental health. That track you've just heard was by quote unquote Amy Winehouse, called The Man I Know, except it was all created by AI. And
Completely.
And to Stephen, who's just messages over on WhatsApp, who says, hi there, BFM. May I know what is the title of the AI song playing right now? Because Shazam can't identify this song. That's probably why, Stephen, is because it was created completely by AI. And it's called The Man I Know, from the album Over the Rainbow. I believe it is.
Over the Bridge was the company that came up with it. The album is called Lost Tapes of the 27 Club.
There you go. Now, we asked you guys for some suggestions during the break, and we've had quite a few already. Do we want to look at Twitter first? Let's look at Instagram first. Chris.
So on Instagram, we've got r_vin14, who says Kurt Cobain because Nirvana was an absolute icon for grunge. We've got Stephen HSL, who says Cranberries. Oh, I miss Dolores' vocals. Such an angelic voice. We've also got Jhen89, who says Beatles, which I was born in the same era. And this one, I really love this one. Nook Tan Sri says P. Ramlee. His timeless masterpieces are magic.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Beautiful.
Over on Twitter,
Apala says, don't need no AI for Prince.
If you've just recently seen a recently re-released video of Prince performing While My Guitar Gently Weeps, I highly suggest you see that. For those of you who are Prince fans, they've released that video with more Prince. He's certainly a guitar god. And speaking of guitar gods, one of the suggestions that we had was certainly Jimi Hendrix. Nini has said Michael Jackson. Steve Chong has chimed in with Whitney Houston. There's quite a few suggestions here already. Keep them coming, folks. WhatsApp 0187898899. Twitter or Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. Now, of course, it would be shameful if we didn't hear from a musician during this period as well and get their thoughts on this.
Yeah, so we have on the line OJ Law, who's a musician and a sound engineer, and we wanted to get his thoughts on all of this. So OJ, what are your overall thoughts on the article and the idea of using AI to bring these artists, quote-unquote, back to life?
I think the technology is fascinating. I know it's still early in terms of the using AI to recreate these voices, and so I think you can still tell at the moment that the voices are not quite there. I mean, I'm basing on my knowledge of Nirvana and Amy Winehouse, who I'm fans of both their work. And the voices, they kind of sound like maybe 80% there, almost like a good imitator. But the fact that it was generated by AI is amazing to me. I guess, yeah, ethically, I'm not sure how I feel about reusing their voices for new songs. Sure, you can use their voices, but you're not really getting the essence of them as a songwriter. And I think that's really, you know, the voice is only part of it. The fact that they were able to write these amazing songs, and unless you had an amazing songwriter to write new songs for them. But yeah, ethically, I think definitely it's a gray area, and I can't really think of a good reason why you would make new songs using the AI.
So, hey, OJ, do you think people are uneasy around this idea because it's genuinely unethical or because it's just new to us? I mean, technically, isn't this the same as using CGI to reconstruct an actor in a movie, whether they're dead or alive, and asking us to pretend it's actually them?
I guess it's not that different. I would say with using CGI to reconstruct an actor, I don't think anyone, you know, I think it's been done sparingly and people have been okay with that. But we haven't, not that I can think of, any film that's come out where the entirety of the film with a lead actor has been recreated with a CG person. So, yeah, I think people have issues with this. I can't think of any real artistic reason why you'd want to use this to make new songs by the artists except to make money. And in any case, the people who would be fans of the artists would not be cool with this either. So, yeah, it doesn't seem like it would be that useful.
Right. So, OJ, the songs in Lost Tapes of the 27 Club seem quite convincing so far. As a musician, what do you think is missing, though? I guess, what's the one thing AI can't replicate when composing these songs?
The one thing that stuck out to me was the quality of the songwriting was not good. And I'm not sure how easy it would be to train an AI to write a good song. You know, maybe given enough time and enough training of the AI, maybe they can write hit songs. But at the moment, everything I've heard from this project and from other AI projects that I listen to, it hasn't really hit the mark yet. It feels like a lot of the training has gone into replicating the sound of the voices and not so much the musicality of it yet.
They haven't got the hook yet. That's what it is.
The X factor.
Yep. Oji, would you depend on AI to help you make music in future projects?
Yeah, I would have no issue using AI to help write bits of music. Why not? I think, honestly, with technology, we're already getting so much help from, let's say, virtual instruments are such a big thing. So a lot of the pianos you would hear in pop songs are not actually recorded from real pianos. They're samples. A lot of pop music relies on drum loops, for example. They exist in samples. So we're already using this sort of technology to help us write music. There's software that is out there to help suggest chords and melodies already. So this is already happening, really, in some. And I think it's not going to really help you write an amazing song. You still need to master the tools and master the craft of songwriting. And AI is just another tool to add to the arsenal of tools that we have already.
All right, we're going to put you on the spot then. So if you were asked to construct a song with the help of AI and machine learning for a musician who's no longer with us, who would it be and why?
Yeah, I don't really like the idea of creating a new song of a dead artist using AI. I don't think I'd be involved in a project like that, but I can imagine it would be cool. You know, it's very easy to be cynical about this, but you kind of only need one person to do it right. Let's say one of the huge pop artists in the world, I don't know, Ariana Grande or someone, and she suddenly has Freddie Mercury singing this amazing chorus on a song and everybody loves it. So yeah, it just has to happen once and be successful and then probably everyone will be doing it. But I can't imagine it happening in the foreseeable future. But yeah, let's wait and see.
He didn't answer, did he? Thank you very much, OJ, for joining us today. Of course, that was OJ Law, a musician and a sound engineer.
I feel like OJ has now put that out in the universe, the Ariana Grande and Freddie Mercury. Uh-huh. I'm just thinking about what if you could get Michael Jackson and Lady Gaga in the same song? You know what that would do to the music industry?
See, yeah. This is where I'm like, it does still wig me out ethically, but that potential, I didn't even think about collaborations and hearing voices. Like, it's hearing voices together that you would never hear, right? That's, to me, that strikes my interest a lot more than just creating new songs for an artist independently, I think.
Because it's stuff we would never get to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, there's quite a few suggestions coming in via WhatsApp as well. 0187-89-8899. Keep them coming. We'll get to them after the break. When we come back after the break, your suggestions that you've sent through, we'll be having a quick update from Bursa at break. And of course, we'll be having more songs from dead artists that have been recreated by AI. Now, the next one coming up is somebody asked for this earlier on, actually. It was who asked for Jimi Hendrix? Oh, yes. Number ending 4555. You asked for Jimi Hendrix. So this is a Jimi Hendrix song created by AI. It's called You're Gonna Kill Me. This is up right now. Don't forget, this is not actually Jimi Hendrix. Mm-hmm. This is artificial intelligence. We'll be right back after this here on Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Before Friday materializes, BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Christine Wong,
Arvind Yuvraj.
We're asking you whether or not if you could ask artificial intelligence to create a new album for a dead musician, who would it be and why? And this is from a story in Vice, and how should AI be used to resurrect musicians who are no longer with us? What if it's to shine a light on mental health? Because there's an organization called Over the Bridge, and they've used AI to create new songs for wildly popular artists who also happen to have died young. So we've been asking you that question. We'll get to some of your responses in just a few moments. But of course, we need to have an update from Bursa at break, courtesy of Arv.
So it is down by 0.11% at 1,586 points. Active stocks are Focus Dynamics, Sedania Innovator and Dagang Next Change. The ringgit is at 4.11 against the US dollar, 3.18 against the Aussie dollar and 3.08 against the Sing dollar.
Thank you very much. I'm going to hit up some of the messages here on WhatsApp. Jason has suggested Suderman. Mm-hmm. Of course, that would be something. Tsai Yao Yang has said earlier on in response to the Amy Winehouse track, that AI song was pretty chill. More songs from the AI engineering, please. That would be nice. We've also got Elvis, Freddie Mercury and Suderman. And then Hao Shu Liang has said, thanks, BFM. Now, would BFM be run by AI one day? Imagine having the breakfast grill run by AI. Interesting thing is, Stephen, is that there are elements of BFM that are, in fact, run by AI already, but obviously it's not us on air. But it's that kind of thing is actually not that far away, if you really think about it. There is software out there. One of them, in fact, is a piece of software called Descript, where it can take elements of our voice, and you feed it like 10 minutes of a particular person's voice, and then it can essentially recreate that voice and do everything with it in the way that we can almost do, except have a conversation. The one thing it can do is talk to you. It's just not very good at conversation just yet. So hopefully our jobs are safe for a little while anyway. So that's that. But some more suggestions from Vivigan. Some left-field suggestions here. Jim Morrison from The Doors. Not so left-field as you might think. Mm-hmm. Otis Redding, Tupac, Biggie Smalls, Mac Miller, Pop Smoke. And he goes on to say, however, I think it's best to refrain from this capitalist gimmick because, amongst other things, the ethos and the old-school romance, part of what makes artists so precious is their impermanence. Very true. Mm. Something which we will be speaking about shortly, actually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we have on the line with us Dr. Anita Harris Satkunanandan from the Masters in Postcolonial Literatures program at FSSK UKM. And she's also well-versed with moral philosophy. So Dr. Anita, what are your overall thoughts on this article and this idea of using AI and machine learning to bring these artists back to life?
I think it's certainly interesting to consider the ways in which AI can be used in this way to almost musically resurrect these artists. Listening to the songs, I felt some were more convincing to me than others, but they all lacked a little something, a certain kind of soul. For someone who spent the 90s listening to Nirvana cassettes till she had to buy a new copy of Nevermind, the Nirvana song here doesn't sound at all like Kurt Cobain. It sounds like a watered-down mashup of Nirvana, Stone Temple Pilots, Pearl Jam, and a couple of other grunge acts of that ilk. I don't think any real fan of Nirvana would be convinced, honestly. The Winehouse effort was quite nice, I thought, but then again, I don't really listen to Amy Winehouse. The same goes to the Doors effort. It lacks the same thing, spirit. It doesn't have Morrison's feral energy. I feel like the AI kind of reproduced some of the aspects of their compositions, if I may say so. The chords, the kind of registers, but the power was not there. So I agree with the people interviewed about the music. I saw Priya Sharma was there as well. That's really cool. But I also do not discount that in the future, more evolved AI could indeed bring these musicians back to life. So how I personally feel about it, as someone who writes about AI and someone who actually writes music as well, I felt a certain visceral recoil. But at the same time, I have to say it's nothing that's completely new. I remember back in the 90s, they did a series of duets, Natalie Cole with her father, Nat King Cole, and it wasn't AI, but people were kind of remastering his music and using sound engineering to kind of make it as though she was singing with her father. And it was kind of ghoulish in that way. I think the same thing comes into play when we take something from the past and bring it into the present. There is a kind of resurrecting. It's just that this is far more immediate.
So, ethically speaking, is there anything really wrong in what they're doing? Is it offensive because we're not used to it, or because there's a real ethical problem here?
I feel when it comes to medical ethics or the ethics of care, for example, it has the same kind of resonances as the questions we ask about, do we have a right to prolong a person's life beyond that, as that the part of their life that they want it to be prolonged? For example, in the case of life support, if someone has stated before they went under that they do not want to be, they do not consent to have their life support extended beyond a certain time. What are the ethics of prolonging their life? Are you prolonging the life of someone like Kurt Cobain, who has actually ended his own life? Yep. It's tragic, yes. And perhaps for someone like his daughter, perhaps it's comforting to hear this music, but perhaps it's not, because it's kind of hollow. It's a musical revenant, something that has come back, but it doesn't have the soul of the person who's singing it. Yep. And it's something that I feel kind of emotionally connected to, because my own father was on life support, and there's a lot of arguments about whether or not he should be left to be on life support. And I think the same goes for musicians and artists. As I mentioned, as someone who writes, I don't know if I personally would be happy with someone reproducing, or an AI reproducing, my kind of writing or my kind of music, because I'm a composer as well. But on the other hand, does it give comfort to the people left behind? And does it kind of, would they be getting royalties from it? I think that it's not something that's new. As I mentioned before, I mean, we are still watching several adaptations of Tolkien's work, C.S. Lewis's work. So many dead authors are being reproduced in the cinema and in TV series. But the difference here, I suppose, is that the AI is tapping into, okay, how does this person write music? How does this person sing? And bringing back those voices, albeit disembodied, to life. One of my favorite albums is actually a posthumous album by Jeff Buckley, who died. And it was actually a posthumous album. They took his bedroom sessions that never quite made it to the recording studio. They remastered it and they published it. And after Jeff Buckley's death, albums like this kind of comforted a lot of his fans, but it had the force of his voice, because it was his voice. It just wasn't a recorded voice. Yep. I don't think it's offensive. I certainly think it's troubling. And I also ask the question of who is profiting from it. That's a very important question to ask.
Absolutely. I mean, much like you alluded to earlier, some people have said that they find these new songs comforting, like having a piece of these artists back in some way. But, you know, is it really them? Are data and algorithms considered organic parts of a person?
I certainly don't think so. But the interesting question raised by this is, are data and algorithms considered organic parts of a person? Now, I'm not an analytical philosopher kind of person myself, but I have been thinking a lot about what Daniel Dennett, an analytical philosopher, said when he says that there is no real such thing as consciousness. We are all blobs of pattern recognition walking about. I think when I read that in his book, I kind of flung the book across the room. The last time I did that was Nietzsche's Thus Speaks Zarathustra. But what's interesting to me about that thought is that we are actually processing information all of the time. We are kind of human machines. So are organic machines different from inorganic machines? For example, AI, data and algorithms. I think a lot of us would be very knee-jerk when we say, yes, of course, we are humans. We are alive. They are not alive. But let's go beyond that. Let's extend this thought experiment. If an AI could extend consciousness, would it be the same kind of consciousness? It brings us back to the question of cloning. Would the clone of an original be the same thing as an original? Would a copy be the same as an original? No, I don't think so. But it would have its own life. So this would be Kurt Cobain floating about in binary form. Is it Kurt Cobain? Obviously not. Is it a separate life? Yes, perhaps a more mediocre version of Kurt Cobain, but no, it's not Kurt Cobain. Two sets of pattern recognition does not equate the same thing. Logically speaking, that's what I feel.
Yeah, that was Dr. Anita Harisatgunanandan. We will hear more from her after the break, but very interesting stuff. It could be like a whole separate entity altogether made out of parts that are derived from the artists themselves. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I mean, where I'm at is it's a Wednesday.
And you
I'm
have an existing
existential crisis. So thank you for that. Thank you very much. I hope our listeners are enjoying the discussion.
We've got plenty of suggestions coming up as well. Do we want to hit up Instagram, Chris, some of the messages, or do you want to wait until we've heard from Kurt Cobain?
We can go to Instagram for another message. Just give me a second for my actual phone to do the thing. Right, we've got a message here from actually two of them. They both say Michael Jackson. This is Chichivi and Jonathan Chow 3. Chichivi specifically says MJ because I doubt AI could do his songs accurately. And that's, I think, another element of, you know, much like what Anita was saying, can, you know, the spark is missing, right? Mm-hmm. So that's an interesting idea.
We have a tweet here from MN Ibrahim who says that dead musician Janis Joplin, musically dead musician Metallica. And I'm like, hey, hold on.
Ooh.
Okay, hold on.
Oh.
Controversial.
A can of worms, a can of worms.
Over on WhatsApp, number ending 9082 has said Tupac and Freddie Mercury. Margaret Wing has chimed in. And here's one out of left field for sure. Judy Garland would be an interesting one. Wow. For sure. Mm-hmm. But before we need to take a break with a music break, of course. And as Dr. Anita said, we've got Nirvana coming up here with Drowned in the Sun. According to Dr. Anita, though, this could be a rough mashup of Nirvana. It could be the Stone Temple Pilots and Soundgarden and Pearl Jam all rolled into one. But you guys have a listen and let us know what you think. This is all coming up here on Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Begin Free Malaysia. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. It's 12:47, coming up to 12:48 here in the studio at BFM. I'm in the studio with
Arvind Yuvraj
and existential crisis Christine Wong.
If you could ask artificial intelligence to create a new album for a dead musician, who would it be and why? Plenty of suggestions have been coming in all afternoon. If you'd like to send one before the end of the show, get us via WhatsApp, Twitter, or Instagram. WhatsApp is 018-789-8899. Twitter and Instagram both at BFM Radio. We had over on WhatsApp, number ending 0892, somebody saying, I missed Chester Bennington's live performances.
Oh.
Yeah, I think we all do too.
Getting that voice will be tough.
Yeah. Over on Twitter, do we have any new ones?
We have one from Casey who says Frank Sinatra. Why? Because he's the man.
Yes, indeed. Anything over on Instagram, Chris? Any new ones yet?
Nope.
Okay, so we've had Dr. Anita still waiting on the line for us. We've still got some more questions for her, of course. Arv, do you want to kick it off?
Yeah, so I wanted to bring up Michael Jackson because when Michael Jackson's record label released some of his old music after he had passed away, they were kind of slammed by fans for profiting off of Michael's legacy. So is that what makes this whole situation ugly, you think, if someone were to profit from this music?
Well, I think that realistically speaking, most record companies want to make profit. And the same thing with publishing companies. And they purchase rights. So the question you need to ask is, who owns the rights? Which estate is it? Is Kurt Cobain's daughter going to be profiting from it? Is there an estate for Kurt Cobain? Is the bulk of the money being made by the companies that own the copyrights for those material? I don't know who owns the rights to the material that's being produced by AI. It's kind of interesting to consider because this is actually work that is being produced independent of any agreement made by the deceased with any record company. So then the question follows, who actually profits from it, as the question mentioned. And you need to consider things like the extension. When is the period of copyright for that particular artist? So you need to consider that as well because music is a business. And I don't know how far we can slam people who own the rights. Of course, it's unethical or immoral, but if it's hard-coded in an agreement, they basically can do anything with it unless there's some pushback and they actually care for public opinion. So in the case of this particular recording, I'm not sure who owns the rights, but certainly it would be nice if a gesture was to be made for the family.
Okay, I know that you just said that you can't really answer this question, but what would you guess at, I guess, in terms of who you say, I guess, could or should own those rights? And does this mean that the artist is kind of nothing more than just IP?
So this question about does it mean that the artist is nothing more than the IP is one of those questions that's kind of like inciting me to be philosophical about it. What matters? Is it the product or is it the process of working on art? The artist is the artist. The process of creation incorporates everything that the artist is, their life, their experiences, the people that they meet, the works that they do, the entire process of it. The end product, obviously, it's nice if you make profit from it. It's nice if you are compensated for it and you are recognized for it. But it's not who you as an artist, as a composer, as a writer, it's not who you are. But certainly, as for companies, record companies, publishing companies, for them, that is the rights they are concerned with because they make profit from it. But we need to separate the commercial aspect of it from the creative aspect of it. So, which brings us back to the question of, are these recordings the creators? Obviously not. I mean, even from the article itself, you could see that nobody felt that those were really the artists. When I was actually reading the article, I was thinking about my favorite poet, John Keats. Thinking of all of the poems he could have finished if he had lived. He could have finished Hyperion. But if an AI were to try to finish Hyperion on John Keats' behalf, we would read it like it was fan fiction, but it wouldn't be John Keats. And I suppose that's about the same thing. The machine would not have lived John Keats' life, would not have seen what John Keats had seen. And the same thing as Kurt Cobain, we will never know what he was thinking in those final moments. Would he still be writing the same kind of music? Would it be watered down? Whatever it is, what I listened to was not Kurt Cobain. And I think that's about all I need to say about that.
Yeah, thanks, Dr. Anita. That was Dr. Anita Harris Satgunanandan from the Masters in Postcolonial Literatures program at FSSK UKM. And she's also well-versed with moral philosophy. I want to bring up something that Dr. Anita said at the end there, that the artist has lived through their life and they have experiences, and that's something that AI wouldn't know because you can't live their life, right? And I think it's ironic that Over the Bridge is sort of focusing on mental health because, and this might be like very ugly to say, but for record labels, a mentally healthy Kurt Cobain is not a profitable Kurt Cobain.
Yes.
You don't get Smells Like Teen Spirit from a happy Kurt Cobain, which is, I guess that's a very, it's the ugly truth of the industry. They have to be, even Amy Winehouse, so when you have those mental health issues, they produce music that becomes so popular. But at the same time, they are suffering from those issues, right?
And it's an industry that has had extremely dark moments, you know. Mm. If you look at the way in which some of the musicians were propped up back in the day, whether or not you're talking about the 60s, 70s, 80s, or even through to the 90s with Kurt Cobain, it was not an... a sensible way of doing things, you know. They knew he had issues. They knew he had reliances on certain substances, and they provided those substances, you know.
Because it fueled him.
Because it fueled his creativity, if that's how you want to look at it. Mm-hmm. But also, those record labels signed bands like Nirvana, knowing that they were already angst-ridden. You know, so it's not necessarily like they created him or they created that character. That character already existed in one way or another.
Yep.
They just kind of allowed it to kind of...
They allowed it to keep going.
Correct, yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's also a kind of argument. I mean, we can't get too much into it, but there's also the kind of argument of like art comes through out of pain, right?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So, you know, can you really make art if you don't feel... I guess, like, some of these negative emotions or go through these negative experiences in a way. Like, a lot of people talk about, like, Van Gogh, for example, and how, you know, a lot of the reason why his paintings are beautiful is, in a way, due to his mental illness. Like, that whole conversation is probably for another time, but it's something to think about, and maybe that might be... In a kind of horrible way, that might be what the spark that is missing from these AI songs.
Actually, that's a good point because it kind of echoes... I mean, the fans are partly to blame. I remember like a lot of them came after Slipknot when they came out with their new album and saying it's not hardcore enough, it's not loud enough, it's not angsty enough. And I'm like, Corey Taylor's like in his late 40s and he lives in a cushy mansion somewhere with the eight others in the band. They're not going to make the same kind of music. And I'm honestly happy that they're not making the same kind of angry music.
Right,
it means that they've moved past a certain stage, right? So you can't expect that from them forever and ever to be in that mental state.
The thing is, and you know, my final word on this is AI is advancing so rapidly and so cleverly that I do not think it will be too long before AI learns how to be sad and learns how to be upset. Mm-hmm. You know, and we've already seen elements of this. I mean, obviously it's not quote-unquote conscious, but we saw when bots were created on Twitter that used AI and it learned, mm-hmm. and it was incredibly offensive and it was upsetting to a lot of people. You know, it was angst-ridden. It had become something else. So once you have that kind of, again, quote-unquote, intelligence being used in the creation of lyrics and music, then where are we?
That's a whole other thing. It's a whole other ethical issue.
Anyway, very quickly, a couple more messages that have come in via WhatsApp just before we wrap up. Amir has said, the producer should have just lied to fans and told people it was previously unreleased material instead of AI. Ooh, that is questionable. And Norm has said, these songs by the AI are scary. It's like playing PlayStation football where you can all pretend to be Lionel Messi. Soon everyone can have an app where they can compose their own song sung by a dead and living singers. Not too far away from that at all, Norm. Anyway, thanks for all of your messages and your suggestions throughout today's show. A fascinating show for today. Thanks very much for that, Arv. The question, of course, was if you could ask artificial intelligence to create a new album for a dead musician, who would it be and why? We've had some great suggestions, but we've forgotten about David Bowie. We've forgotten about, you know, some of the members of the Beatles. We've forgotten about all kinds of stuff. So many. Anyway, we've got to wrap up. Now, one song to take us out is a final one, of course, a recreation of The Doors, The Roads Are Alive. That's to take us out of the show. And stick around because coming up after the 1 o'clock news, Breakfast Grill replay. Founder and Group CEO of Invest Energy Group. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.